Ari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Gopi Janavalla Bhagirivanadari. Jaya Gopi Janavalla Bhagirivanadari. Yasodanandana Brajajanaranjana. Yamunatiravanachari. Yamunatiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivanadari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivanadari. Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana. Jamunatiravanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gimna Gina Shalakaya Chakshur Umlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master kindly continues to open my eyes. Again and again, I offer my respectful obeisances at his lotus feet. Thank you all for coming. Hare Krishna. Are we having Hindi translation or it's not necessary? Oh, on FM. Okay. Got it. I understand. Thank you. The title of this little series that we had this morning and tonight, I first called it From the Head to the Heart. I realize now that the words are more like integrating the head and the heart. We don't want to dismiss the head, but we don't want the head to lead, because the head tends to sometimes can neglect the heart. And we don't just want the heart, because we want some discernment. We want to be able to use our intelligence. So integrating the head and the heart determines what's possible. But the heart surpasses that. Love surpasses our tiny perceptions. So when we allow the heart to guide, and then the heart asks the mind to help it, the mind can assist the heart. And that's a very nice integration of the two. That's just a preface. And so tonight, this morning we talked about friends and enemies. And I believe that is on YouTube. Tonight we're going to talk about integrity and words. So, first of all, I want to say, I also said this morning, but I want to say it again, because I don't think that it really sinks in how challenging it is to be a soul in a human machine. To be a soul in a human machine, it's the biggest challenge. It's a special gift. There are demigods waiting in line to take human birth. And with every special gift, there's also extra responsibility. So we're given intelligence, and that intelligence can be used to help us to understand why we're here and to heal so that we can move beyond the limits of this material world. And yet, there are many challenges on the way. And as devotees, we even get more challenges, because we are now kind of almost making a declaration against the material energy. In the material world, we can just flow down the stream and flow down the stream again and again, birth after birth. However, as devotees, we're making a stand, and we're really swimming upstream. We're swimming against the current of what most human beings do. And so it's an extra challenge. So in that, we really need to really support and help one another. It's not an easy journey, and sometimes in the beginning it seems really easy, and then we might hit a wall later on. And that's because sometimes we very quickly and rapidly advance to where we were in our last lifetime. But then we hit a wall of where we kind of ended, and then we really need to break through that place to get to the next level. So sometimes it gets a little discouraging. One time there was a story, Prabhupada was on a morning walk with some of his sannyasis and temple presidents, and they were kind of pointing the fingers at one another and blaming one another. And Prabhupada turned around and with his cane, he said, he pointed and he said, "You are simply discouraging one another. I have only come to encourage." And he said it one more time, "I have only come to encourage. And you are simply discouraging." And then he turned around and kept walking. And then the devotees were like, please forgive me, Prabhu. Please forgive me, Prabhu. They got the message. Prabhupada simply came to encourage. And certainly we want to follow Prabhupada's example and learn how to encourage one another. It's not an easy process. So today's topic tonight is about integrity. And let's see here. A lot of times we'll talk about the absolute truth, right? We talk about the absolute truth. We actually have the absolute truth in our books. We have it. However, we don't always talk so much about truthfulness, about being truthful. So I wanted to hear from my audience. How should I word this? What does a lack of truthfulness create? So, anybody can mention? Go ahead, you in the back there. You, yes. I'm sorry. Lack of trust. That's a big one. Lack of trust. Duplicity. Lack of integrity creates duplicity. Go ahead. Manipulation. It can create manipulation, duplicity, manipulation. Lack of truthfulness. Non-transparency. Non-transparency, yeah. Things get kind of cloudy and, you know, we can't see clear, and then certainly we don't trust. What else does a lack of trust, a lack of truthfulness create? Superficiality, yeah, being on the surface level. Yes. Go ahead. Somebody over here. Irresponsibility, yeah. Yeah, thank you for so much for sharing. All of these things are true. Now, the interesting thing is that does anybody know what the first thing Lord Brahma created? I'm sorry, I still didn't hear you. Say it in the microphone.
Five Agyanavrittis.
Yeah, well, what's the first thing he created?
Avidya.
Avidya. So, okay. Thank you. That was really good. Now I can see my paper. Let there be light. There was darkness, yes. And I'm going to tell you what the first thing Lord Brahma created is. The very first thing he created was self-deception, right? He had to create self-deception because we couldn't be in this world if we didn't deceive ourselves that we weren't part of Krishna somewhere along the line. So self-deception. So, you know, we're in an environment, the material world is kind of steeped in that self-deception. Now, but truthfulness is quite important. Can somebody mention a verse that in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita about truthfulness? Can somebody state one verse? I have a bunch of verses here, but I just want to hear from you. What does Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam say about truthfulness? Yes. Go ahead.
In Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse where it is said, Shattam Priyam Hitam Chajat. Whatever words we use, that should be Shattam, that should be truthful, that should be favorable and
beneficial.
Beneficial.
Pleasing, us. Yes. That's the 17th chapter, I believe. 17:15. Right? Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. Yeah, that's a good verse. That's going to come with the words part. Any specific verses about truthfulness before I say a few? The four legs of religion. One leg is truthfulness. And by the way, in Kali Yuga, it's the last leg. It's the only leg. It's the only leg left. We happen to be in Kali Yuga. So if we don't have that truthfulness, we have no leg to stand on. Nothing. So we say, like, what's the big deal about integrity? What's the big deal if there's a little white lie? What's the big deal? Just a little thing. Well, let's say we have an airplane, right? And it's only, I mean, we can even make it less, but just let's say it's just 1 degree off course. Just 1 degree. No big deal, right? Just 1 degree. It's really on course 99%. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is as you fly, the further you go, 1% takes you further from your goal. So if you go maybe 10 miles, of course you're not going to fly 10 miles, but you know, maybe you'll be a few hundred feet off or something. But if you fly from New York to India, you might end up in Dubai. And that's a pretty big difference. It's a different country. You might not even have the visa. Good luck on that. So, what is the big deal about truthfulness? You know, the material energy, the illusory energy, especially when we become devotees, the illusory energy doesn't get us with big, obvious out of integrities. Generally, she doesn't get us like with a big, like, here you should go out and do this. What she does is just a little bit off course. What's the big deal? No big deal. 10, 20, 30 years later, it's a big deal. I have to say that happened in my life. You know, we went through a lot of different phases in New Vrindavan, but 30 years later, it's like, wait a minute, I didn't come to Krishna consciousness for this. And so I started practicing integrity. So I'm going to read a couple verses that kind of, I was so surprised that every canto talks about truthfulness. Now here is what Prabhupada says in a lecture in London, 1973, the brahmanas should be taught how to become truthful first of all. A brahmana will never speak a lie at any cost. It is stated that even if his enemy inquires something confidential from him, he'll say, yes, this is my position. This is truthfulness. He'll not even, I mean to say, guile against his enemy. He should be truthful, even kshatriyas. They are also truthful men. Truthfulness is so valuable. That makes one a powerful brahmana. It makes one a powerful devotee. Truthfulness. It's the last leg. So, of course, brahmana means to be truthful first, says that. The qualities of living beings include truthfulness, forgiveness, which we talked about this morning. The transcendental qualities of godly men, these are Bhagavad Gita 10, 4 and 5, Bhagavad Gita 15, the qualities of a godly man, fearlessness, simplicity, nonviolence, truthfulness, compassion for all living beings, aversion to fault finding, truthfulness. Krishna, out of the 40 qualities Krishna has, the first one is truthfulness. He's the absolute truth. This one was really interesting to me. This is in... well, let me read this one. The purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18. Krishnadas Kaviraj lists the 26 good qualities of a Vaishnava, which, by which one can distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. The first four are pretty important. He is very kind to everyone. He does not make anyone his enemy. We learned about that this morning. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. This is almost exactly reflecting what Prahlad said this morning to his father. That's an interesting one. And here's another one. In the seventh canto, brahmanas practice truthfulness. Kshatriyas are forgiving, always jolly, and truthful. Even sudras, being free from duplicity, not stealing, always speaking the truth. Well, gosh, I mean, we can't have that excuse that I'm not a brahmana, because now even sudras are not duplicitous, they don't steal, and they're always truthful. Okay, so let's think about this. Let's think about this. So what's the big deal about a white lie? Let's hear from some of you. What do you think about a little white lie? I mean, I've said a few things, but what does it do? A little white lie. What might you say that might be a white lie? A little thing which you think is somewhat justified. It becomes a habit. It does become a habit. That is the problem with a lie. What you do in little things, how you do one thing ends up to become a habit of how you do everything. If we can't keep our word and our integrity with little things like, I'll be there at 3 o'clock, or, you know, I'll help you do that. Now, if we can't be truthful in those little things, what makes us think we're going to have the strength and the wherewithal to be truthful to our vows, to our spiritual master in Krishna? Where are we going to get the strength if we don't practice in the little things? The little things are pretty easy, right? It's not a big deal to come on time for something. Not so much of a big deal. It takes some practice, but it's not really like you have to become perfect. You just have to be on time. But if we can't do it in little things, how will we do it in big things? How will we? We won't have the practice. If I can't lift this little thing here regularly, what makes me going to think that I can lift 50 pounds? I'm not going to do it. I probably won't do it at all, but even 25 pounds. If I can't practice lifting this, I'm not going to lift 25 pounds. It's a practice. It's so important. Prabhupada says it's so important. Here's another one. He talks about Brahman. Must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, controlling the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. The demigod said to Krishna, Krishna, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. The other thing about truthfulness is if we can't walk our talk, really our words don't have power. There was a story one time about Gandhi, and a mother came to Gandhi and said, please, my child is eating sugar all the time. Can you please tell him to stop? He might listen to you. So Gandhi said, come back in a week. So the mother came back, and he said to the child, please don't eat sugar. It's bad for you. And the mother said, why didn't you just tell him last week? Why did I have to come back? And he said, well, last week I was eating sugar. So, you know, he really took that to heart. If I really am going to tell this child it's bad for him, I'd need to believe it. Now, Prabhupada was like the perfect example of integrity. He kept impeccable records, even when he was on the boat. I spent $1 for postage. Well, not on the, he didn't spend for postage on the boat, but when he was in New York, $1 for postage, paper, $3.25. He kept a journal of what he spent. He was in integrity. And that's just with pennies. You know, are we keeping our books straight? Are we really in integrity with what we're doing? Does everything match up? Is there transparency? Because if we're not transparent with little things that are tangible, it's going to be hard for us to be transparent, you know, with the subtle things. Now, always, it's easy enough to see the tip of the iceberg, right? Tip of the iceberg, but the tip of the iceberg is only 10%. But that's what we can see with our eyes. So there's 90% integrity under the water. That's all the subtle things. That's all the things that we lie to ourselves, or we just tell people when we don't want to come to something. We don't say, I'm not really interested in coming. I don't. We just say, I'm sick, or, you know, and we think, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not, we think it's not a big deal. But there's another thing. What happens when we tell one little lie? So what happens, like, we say, I'm sick. Then someone finds out that we weren't sick. Then they say, oh, you said you were sick, but they told me that you weren't sick. Then what do we do? Tell me, what do we do when we're caught in a little white lie? We tell another lie. We tell one more lie to conceal the first lie. Oh my gosh. Now we're really in trouble. And sometimes, maybe we'll tell a half-truth, which is what I did a lot when we collected money in the early days. So one time there was a person who went to a priest and he confessed, I stole a rope, right? So then the priest was a little intelligent. He asked him a few more questions. And then finally the man said, there was a cow at the end of the rope. Kind of a relevant detail. So sometimes we tell a half-truth, but it's really like less than a half-truth. And we're really concealing information. So why are we so afraid to tell the truth? why are we afraid to tell the truth? What is it that makes us afraid to tell the truth? Go ahead. Anybody? Let's have some guesses, please.
People fear of judging. People will judge us.
People will judge us. That's a big one. That's a big one. People will judge us. Somebody else?
We may consider to others as fool or something else.
They might consider that we're a fool. Exactly. You might lose your status. Exactly.
Non-acceptance.
You won't be accepted. Exactly. We think of the worst consequences. Yeah. Yeah. Now, all of these things are related. Losing status, not being accepted, being judged. I mean, nobody wants to be judged. There is some validity there. But what is it that wants to be accepted, that's afraid of losing its status? What is it that's afraid to be judged? What part of us is it? It's the false ego that doesn't want to be judged. Because the soul is just the soul. So what we do when we tell a little white lie is we're actually fortifying our false ego. We're actually giving the false ego power, because the false ego doesn't want to feel any pain. It tries to like cover over all the pain. So the false ego's like, don't tell him the truth. He's going to, you know, give you, forget it, don't tell him the truth. And it convinces us. And then, if we get caught, or whatever, we justify it. We justify it. And justification is simply another lie. That false ego. So when we lie, we're fortifying the false ego. What is it that we're afraid of? There's our pain inside. We have a pained persona inside. We all have pain. It comes from our original pain of being disconnected from Krishna, our existential grief. We all have pain, and it becomes perverted by the material energy into our false ego pain. Because we don't know our real ego, we have to create a false ego, but become very attached to that ego because we think it's us. And if that gets destroyed, that's like death. It's worse than death. Dishonor is worse than death, right? Dishonor is worse than death. However, the death of the false ego, our soul can never be killed. Death of the false ego could possibly liberate our soul. It could. Because the false ego isn't really us. So, we really need to get down to that pain and liberate our false ego. I mean, liberate our real ego, excuse me. And it begins with a step-by-step process. When we can start to tell the truth in tiny places. Say someone bought my book last year. And I say, oh, did you read it? And they said, yeah, I really liked it. And then I say, well, what did you like about it? Because I'm curious, and they really didn't read it. Now they're stuck. Now they feel really embarrassed. Now they feel really shameful. But if they say, you know, I have so many books on my shelf, and I really didn't read it, I appreciate that. I'm like, me too. I got a lot of books. And so I said, if you get a chance and you do like it, you know, tell me about it, you know. I don't judge them, but if they tell me a lie, I'm like, it doesn't feel good. It feels like, wow, you can't even be truthful with me. I'm not, you know. It hurts. even especially if it's like a friend, like your friend gave you a book and you said, I flipped through it, you know. But what if somebody said, you know, I flipped through the book and I just realized it really wasn't my, it wasn't interesting to me, it's not what I like, but thank you for giving me the book, thank you for sharing with me. Now that person would feel, you know, like you were her friend, his friend, but if you he found out you lied, it's like, wow, can I even trust you in anything? Can I trust you in anything? You told me a lie and you're supposed to be my friend. Yeah, this lying business, just those little white lies, you know. Let's see, there was one more thing I was going to say. Telling the truth may take a little more time to explain. It might take a little more time. But in the long run, it really, really adds value to your life. It helps you to feel good about yourself. It helps people to trust you. Integrity creates a foundation of integrity. I mean, a foundation of workability, a foundation of trust. And trust and workability are so important in communities. If we don't have trust and workability, we have division and fighting and politics, which breeds more of the same. What are we cultivating? What are we cultivating in our own lives? And what are we cultivating in our communities? So integrity is a really, really important, I just can't tell you how important it is. So now let's talk a little bit about words, because this is the second part, how we transform our experience by changing our words. So integrity has three levels. The first is meaning what you say. So if you say, I'll meet you at 3 o'clock, I meet you at 3 o'clock. I mean what I say. And what does that create when you say something and you follow through on that? What does that do for another person? How do they feel about you?
It develops trust.
They see you as dependable. They can count on you. And they know they can count on you. Yudhisthira Maharaj, oh my gosh, everybody knew. He gave his word. He means it. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. Could we create a culture like that? It's going to take some practice. The second level of integrity is, meaning what you say, saying what you mean. So saying what you mean means you're clear about what you're saying. So that means you have to be really understanding. So if something happens and something didn't work out and I point a finger at you and I blame you, you turned in the paper late and that ruined everything. You're just incompetent. Is that the truth? There may be a little truth to that, but I'm sure the person's not completely incompetent. And when you say that to that person, you're blaming them. They're not getting really any clear feedback. And that person may, you know, they might get fired, but they might leave. And then they might leave and feel so hurt that they say bad things about you and the community that you're in. Say what you mean is, you know, when you turned in the paperwork, there was a deadline on Friday. And when you turned it in late, I felt really frustrated because I was depending on you and then my paperwork wasn't able to be handed in until Monday and they wanted my paperwork on Saturday. And I wasn't able to fulfill on my deadline. So I got it from my boss. And I don't want to hand it to you. I don't want to hand that chastisement to you, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We can use that word instead of blaming somebody. We can just say, it doesn't work when you turn things in late. It throws a wrench in the whole works. Can you please, like, can we check base more often? Can we talk to each other and make sure that you're on track to have it done? Can we communicate a little bit more? And if you need support, can you tell me that you need it so that I can give you what you need so I can get what I need? That would be saying what you mean really clearly. But the blaming doesn't give that person any kind of feedback. Or you could even say, you know, this is the first time you're late. Is there a problem with that? Or this is the second time you're late. This doesn't work. Is this going to be what happens every time? And they may have a really good reason. My son broke his leg and I was in the hospital last night until 2 in the morning and I was planning on finishing the report and I couldn't. So that creates more connection. Now the third level of integrity is honoring your words. As we honor our words, we bring honor to our words and we bring honor to the people that we're giving our word to. And honoring our word means even choosing words that are honoring rather than choosing words that might be judgmental. So we'll look at a few little words here. Let's see. Like maybe words like, there are certain words that set the stage for a judgment. Do anybody know what those little words might be?
Always.
And what's the other side of that?
Never.
Always and never. You're always late. You're never on time. Now, that's not really exactly the truth. But it sets a stage like, oh, my God, I'm a failure. And then that really hurts the person. And they've got pain inside of them, and hurting them is not really going to help encourage them. It's going to discourage them. Okay, thank you. That was good. Any other words that might be kind of judgmental and tough to handle? Should. You should. You shouldn't. There's a song, you can look it up on YouTube. It's like, don't should on me and I won't should on you. It's a pretty cute song, actually. Yeah, the whole shoulding, and there's a lot of it, and we should ourselves too. It's like, I should have done that. We're beating ourselves up. We're hurting ourselves and discouraging ourselves. There's already enough pain in the world. We don't need to hurt ourselves. And when we hurt ourselves, then we throw that hurt on others, and we hurt other people, and we just create more pain. How can we reduce the level of pain so that we can you know, really create a culture of love and compassion? There's one more word that really creates, it's a subtle word, but it's funny. There it is. But. But. Sometimes you might say, oh, you really dressed really nicely. You dressed the deity so nicely, but. So the first part that you said was supposedly an appreciation. Then when you add the but, it almost invalidates the first thing that you said. So when we invalidate others, bless you. Are you okay? When we invalidate others, it's discouraging. And so sometimes when we take words like that out of our vocabulary, like I took those words out of my vocabulary, they slip in once in a while, but I usually change it mid-sentence. I become aware of them. And when we really change those words, we find we have to slow down in our speech. We need to speak in different ways. We need to practice choosing other words. It's really quite interesting. And it can really change our exchanges with one another. We don't realize that our words have the power of a wrecking ball. How many words does it take to build relationships and friendships? How many words? I mean, you don't have to give me an exact number. How many about?
Numerous.
Lots of words. How many words does it take to break a relationship? I'm sorry? Not too many. You curse at somebody, depending on that person, they may never want to talk to you again. That's it. You ended it. But we really don't take responsibility for our words sometimes because we're in too much of a hurry. We're in so much of a hurry, it just autopilot just comes out of our mouth. So what's it going to take for us to take responsibility for our words and for our integrity? What will it take for us to take responsibility? First of all, let's look at the word responsibility. When you hear the word responsibility, tell me what you hear. What do you hear? Responsibility. What does that mean to you? Responsibility.
Burden.
What else?
Commitment.
What else? Accountability.
Sincerity.
Responsibility.
Discipline.
I'm sorry? Response. Responsibility. It's like, you're responsible for this mistake. What's that? A little bit of blame sometimes? Responsibility can feel like an element of blame. I'd like to say, when I use the word responsibility, I'm not talking about blame, not talking about shame, not talking about burden or obligation or commitment. I'm not talking about any of those things. Responsibility is something that you can't impose on another, but it's a gift you give yourself. Responsibility is the willingness to say, I have something to do with what happens in my life. I have something to do with what happens in my life. I'm probably talking too fast for that person. I have something to do with what happens in my life. And then to slow down enough, responsibility means slowing down enough to like, wow, what were the impact of my words? We can say something sometimes, and if we're attentive enough, we can see the expression on the other person's face. I can't see all of your faces right now, but if you were close enough, I might see the expressions on your faces and I might get a sense of how you're responding to the class, but I can't see your faces, so you're safe. But sometimes we might say something and then we see people making a face. One time I said something to my grandson and he made a face and I'm like, what did you just hear me say? Because I didn't say anything that would warrant that face. But because I had a certain tone of voice, he thought I was saying what we usually say to him. We used to say, be gentle, be gentle, be gentle, like all the time. So when he was little, I said something, and I said, what did you just hear me say? I said, I know, be gentle, be gentle. But that's not what I said. But his mind had already heard the tone of voice and already kind of repeated what we said. Sometimes we don't even hear what people say because we hear a tone of voice and we think we know what they're going to say. I know, they're going to tell me this, they're going to yell at me, they're going to chat, and we don't even hear what they're saying. So when we see somebody's expression on their face, we can see, you know, maybe I said something that impacted them. Now let's just go back to the lying one more second, and then, okay. All right, we'll come back to that. So our words, taking responsibility. When we take responsibility for how we speak, what we say, am I telling the truth? Am I living in integrity? When we take responsibility for that, we're investing in our consciousness. We're investing in our Krishna consciousness. We're investing, and we get short-term benefits. Our relationships generally improve. And we get long-term benefits because we're actually cultivating an environment of truthfulness. When we honor our words and bring honor to our words, we bring honor to other people. We actually, it brings a power. When you are so much in alignment with telling the truth like that, it's almost like what you say will actually come to be. Now, Prabhupada had that power. He was so much in integrity. When he said there will be 108 temples and this and that, he said it. And it manifested because he was so much in alignment with his integrity. He was also a visionary, but he had that power. His words had power. His words touched our heart because he was living what he was saying. That's why it had such a powerful impact on us. When someone lives what they say, when they walk the talk, it's like, he's the real deal. It really, really, really helps us to tell the truth. So let's just look at just a couple more examples, and then we'll have some questions. So sometimes we can change words, like I like to change the word controlling our mind. I mean, it says it a lot in the scripture, control, control, control. But control in this day and age seems to kind of indicate a little bit of force and pushing down. So I like to use the word managing. We manage our mind, we manage our emotions, just like there are managers, right? Hopefully our managers aren't controllers, because most people don't like managers that are controllers. However, if managers are really good, they manage and they listen to you and they say, okay, you can't do that, okay, that doesn't work in your schedule, and they work with you and they manage. They manage it and sort it out. So if we can manage, it's not like we're beating ourselves up. Sometimes we use the word tolerate, but we use that word, and what it turns out to mean is suppress. So tolerate does not really mean suppress. Usually when Prabhupada means tolerate, he means, he talks a lot about the winter and the cold seasons, and just bearing with the circumstances, just like not suppressing that it's cold, but just, you know, there are ups and downs in life. Just bear with them. But when we say tolerate, and I'm upset or angry, tolerate means I have to suppress it. But actually, tolerance is more like patience. It's like accepting a situation. It's more like acceptance. And tolerance can also be forgiving. Like Prabhupada said, when he was on the ship, he had to be tolerant of the men that were eating meat. So he was forgiving of their habits. So that's just some ways we can change words. And we may think that changing a few little words is not going to change our life, but you'd be surprised how much just changing a few little words starts changing the neural pathways in our brain, starts changing the way we see things, the way we perceive things, the way we receive things. And it can change our lives. Now, there's one more thing I want to say about lying. Goes back to Lord Brahma. Self-deception. We lie to ourselves. We tell a lie to someone and then we justify. And we're lying to ourselves. And it doesn't feel good. And that perpetuates our pain. It doesn't feel good. So the more that we can really recognize and practice integrity, the more enlivened we'll feel. And the more we can practice integrity, the more workability there will be in our communities. And the more we can practice integrity, we're honoring our soul self. We're honoring who we really are. We're not the false ego. When we can be honest enough to not feel scared that someone's going to judge us, when we can be a little vulnerable, when there's nothing to hide, then there's no proving pride. Lying is trying to prove or hide. And when we don't have to hide, we don't have to prove. There's one more way in which we simply tell a lie when someone asks us, "How are you?" "Fine, fine, I'm fine. Everything's fine," right? We say that because we don't think people really want to know, "I'm having a hard time today." We don't tell the truth. But that fineness is a subtle denial of the truth. I had a person I worked with, and every time I said, "How are you?" "Fine, fine." It didn't really tell me anything. So I said, on a scale from 1 to 10, "How fine are you today?" Sometimes he said 7. One time he said 3. I said, "Oh, really? 3 is fine, huh? Okay." That's all I said. One time he said 5. I said, "5. 5 is fine, huh?" But it gave him a little bit more of a sense of where he was. It gave me a little bit more of a sense where he was that day. And I just acknowledged it. Sometimes we can't be truthful in those little things. So, integrity creates a foundation of workability. It creates a sense of cleanliness inside, like we feel clean when we're in integrity and when we're honest. We feel aligned with the values of our soul. We feel aligned with Prabhupada and with the absolute truth. How can we expound the absolute truth and not be truthful? They don't go together. It's out of an alignment. So we want to be in alignment. And we want to really start practicing this. It just gives so much power in our lives, in our relationships, in our communities, in our outreach. Truthfulness is the last leg. And if we don't have that, we have no leg to stand on. We're stuck. So I wanted to thank you so much for your attention, and I wanted to see if there were any questions. We can have a few minutes of questions. Please, do we have a microphone? Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, once again. So whatever you said about integrity, truthfulness, of course, on an absolute platform, it is the thing to be done. But somehow we are living in an era where people want to hear a lie. So if you are being very truthful and, you know, as a matter of fact, you speak, you know, things, so they may not accept, and it may turn to be a very difficult situation.
I want to say something about that. May I interrupt you?
Yes.
Thank you. Truthful doesn't mean my judgment of you. There's a whole book on compassion. So truthful is, I'm truthful about how I feel in this situation, not my judgment of you. Because my judgment of you tells me more about me than about you. You're so uncaring. You're so insensitive. It just means that I have a need for care, and I'm not sensing it from you. But who said you had to give me care? Did we sign an agreement that you were going to give me care? If I'm feeling hurt because of what you said, I'm the one feeling hurt. If you called me names and I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling angry. Who said I had to feel angry? It's the unresolved pain inside of me attached to my ego and my mind. And sometimes anger has validity, but it doesn't validate me throwing my anger on you and saying, you're mean. That's me throwing my pain on you. I'm allowed to be angry. But I could say, I'm feeling a bit disturbed and angry right now. Are there other words you could use? Because I'm feeling kind of hurt by the words you chose. Is there another way you could say that? Now, that's telling the truth in a way that's not blaming the other person. It's taking responsibility, saying what you mean. If I say you're mean, it's just my judgment, my perception of you in that second in time, and putting you in a box that you're mean. So that is definitely going to cause lots of problems, because it's not really the truth. So I don't know if that's what you were talking about, but I just wanted to interject that because...
No, thank you, because I was not talking about that.
Okay.
But you gave a nice perspective to something else that was I didn't ask. But
so now let me hear your question. It just sparked that in me. Thank you. Go ahead. What's your question?
But many times, you know, we have to encourage people. So as part of encouragement, we don't say things as they are. So, and as you know, many times, not many times, I have heard once, His Holiness Radhanath Swami say that, you know, till the end of the life, we have to keep the sweet coating. So, although there is bitterness, but you don't let that bitterness, you know, come in the forefront. So that means it is being untruthful.
Can you give me a specific example to work with? Because when we work in generalities, it's really hard. Just even if you just make up something. So you say something to me.
So like somebody has done something.
I did something to you.
No.
I hurt you. No, let's make it real because it makes it more clear.
Yeah. So okay. Let's say, you know, there is a student, and the student has, you know, created something.
He created a disturbance or something?
Not a disturbance. They did some, you know, project or some
work. Okay, they created a project. Okay.
And although it is not very good,
okay,
but you will basically say, oh, wow, this is so nice,
uh-huh,
right? So, as part of that, this is just a very gross example.
That's perfect. Can I run with that for a minute?
Yeah. So, you know, that happens in various, like from a student,
okay,
to an old man.
Okay,
right?
So let's see what. So this person did a project. So let me try to be honest and do it. I don't have to say this is very good, because that's kind of duality. Wow, you spent so much time on this. Look what you did. And then you can see, look how you made these angles like this. You take some specific things that you can really authentically and genuinely appreciate. How much time did you spend on this? Wow. Did you enjoy doing it? Wow. How do you feel about it when you did it? Did you like this project? You know, was this inspiring for you? And you're talking to them and you're encouraging them, but you didn't have to say, wow, this is really the best thing I ever saw. You don't have to lie. You can really, there's something you can appreciate, but find out what you can authentically appreciate and by all means appreciate that.
So you need to spend some time.
It may take more time to tell the truth. It may take a little more time. You can't just say, oh, that was so good. Oh, that was so great what you did. Oh, that was real wonderful. People come to me sometimes. I gave a wonderful class. That doesn't tell me anything. What did you like about the class? It was just really awesome. Like, well, what part was awesome? Give me some feedback, because it doesn't tell me anything. But if you say, wow, I can see you put a lot of time into this. Do you like science? Yeah, you like science. You like this particular topic? That was what you picked. You just get interested in them and interested in what they did. That's an appreciation, just being interested in them. So you don't have to lie to be honest, to appreciate. You don't have to. But it may take a little more time and you might have to slow down a little bit and think more. Oh my gosh, that would be awful, wouldn't it?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your question. I liked it. Hare Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna, Mataji. So, what in a situation like in the corporate world, we have been doing marketing job and we've been trained to hide the truth and also make sure not that point doesn't come up. You know, beat the bush around so that they don't come to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Indigenous skills, and you are in a dilemma where you are fighting the internal war, but where you tell the truth, you lose the job, you're fired, or you don't tell the truth, you're like getting the business, but it's not ethically right. Or
That's tough. You might make a request and say, look, I'm a monk. We've taken a vow of truthfulness. I can't do this. Can you get somebody else to do that part, to say that part? I'll do the design. I'll do this part. I can't say this. But I don't know if you're in marketing. Maybe you have to. It's a tough one. But if you really pray about it and you think about it, you might find a way to do it differently. But that takes a little time. I don't know if that's possible. I hear what you're saying. It's a tough world, but see what you can do. And if you can't do that, if that's the biggest thing, take on the smaller things and start to align the small things. It's not like you have to like do this all at once. Start small. Start with the little things. Start changing your words a little bit. Start saying something a little closer to the truth, and a little closer to the truth, and a little closer to the truth. It takes time to work into it, but does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Start small.
Also, in that connection, like in managerial posts also, sometimes you are, even among devotees, sometimes it's not so beneficial sometimes to tell them the the facts. I'm not saying the truth, but the facts sometimes, because depending on their level or the maturity, how they would handle it, will be able to handle it or something.
I hear the challenge in telling the truth. It takes more time. It takes a lot more thought. It takes more care. Thought, time, care, those are important things that we can invest in. And I'm not saying you have to do it right away. So I'll give an example in my life to help. So I was a fundraiser, and we used to tell different kind of things that were really kind of like, I took a rope and there was a big cow at the end of it, but I didn't say that. So we're collecting money for this, and you know, maybe there was 1% truth to it and, you know, 99% stretch of the truth. So, you know, when I started practicing integrity, I just started saying a little closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the truth. And then one day I said, I can't do this anymore. So you know, it's kind of like like we're kind of addicted to lying. So it's kind of, you want to wean yourself off of it. So you start at the small places. You start noticing the words you're using. You start catching yourself lying and at least telling yourself that wasn't the truth. You know, you might not necessarily say it, but you start like that small. You have to take small steps because it's a practice. It's a practice. So it's going to take a little, like, exercise. So we got to exercise with the cartels first, you know, the small things. Okay, I got that down. Okay, now we'll try something a little heavier, and now we'll try a little heavier and a little heavier, and then maybe that'll take some years, and then by that time it's like, I don't want to work this job. You see what I'm saying? It depends. But you'll come to it piece by piece. Does that make sense? As you align, and it's an ongoing practice. I'm not perfect, you know. I'm not in perfect integrity, but I just keep practicing. What's the next level of integrity I can practice? What's the next level I can tap? What's the next level I can? You don't start with your your bread and butter. That would be pretty tough. And you come home and you'll lose your wife, and you know, you'll be kicked out of the house, and that would be a real mess. So you start exercising with the little things and work up to it, but at least recognize that this doesn't feel good, and maybe write about it to yourself at night and pray about it. But then see where the little places where you can bring integrity. And does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, we don't like, you know, throw our whole life out the door. We have to practice. Did that answer your question? One step at a time. One step at a time. Please. Thank you for your question. Someone in the back. I'm sorry, I can't see the ladies. They're so far away. I think you guys got to do half and half so the ladies can sit close too. But anyway.
Thank yes. you so much, Mataji.
Yes.
Mataji, you mentioned about false ego and real ego. Uh-huh. What is the difference between the two?
Well, the one is the soul that's in our heart next to Krishna, and that one is experiencing some separation from its real identity. We don't really know who we are right now. We don't know who we are. We don't know our real identity. So that's a little painful. And so Krishna helps us to design a false ego so that we have some kind of operating system, because we can't operate without an operating system. So the false ego is like an operating system which helps us maneuver around this game called life. Because if we didn't have a false ego, we wouldn't learn how to talk, We wouldn't know how to exchange with people. We would just be vegetables because it's like, well, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I should do. So we get a false ego so we can, you know, we can function. But then we start to realize, well, that's not exactly who I am, or that's not really aligned with who I want to be or who my soul is. And so we little by little detach from those operating systems, and then we have to slow down then a little bit and start operating from our heart. So one is reality and one is in duality. Now, I don't think we ever fully let go of that operating system completely. However, we can use the operating system rather than the operating system using us. So we have a false ego, and if we learn to manage it, we can use it, and it doesn't control us. So I'll give an example in my life. Like, I became a workaholic at the age of 8. So that's part of my false ego, protective, proving, look at me, look what I can do system. So I was a workaholic, and I'm a recovering workaholic. So much of my life I was driven to do things and get appreciation and approval. I was driven by that workness. I got to do something out here to be good. I've detached myself a little bit from that, but it doesn't mean that I can't work hard. So if I need to work hard, I can definitely use that and work hard. However, now I can slow down, I can breathe, and I can reflect rather than just working hard. So one is a temporary operating system which can tend to manage us unless we understand it, and then we can manage it. And the other one is our real self, which is our soul self, which we want to little by little, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, become more in alignment with that. So there's a big difference, and we don't just go from one to the other. We wean ourselves off of our false ego. Our false ego is a lie, actually. We're not the false ego, but we need to use it sometimes. Does that make sense? I wrote some books back here. One is on the mind and the false ego. One is on the anartas. One is on like friends and enemies. And one is about compassion. And I'll sit there afterwards, and I'm giving special discount deals to everybody because I'm trying to not have to carry the books around. So anybody who wants to purchase the books, I'm aware of the time. So I know that you all have schedules and you need to take rest and you have a lot of things going on. He said I could talk till 8:45 and it's 8:51. So in the name of integrity, it would probably be best if we stop. If you have questions, I'll be here for a little bit afterwards. You know, if you want to connect or get my email address or buy a book, I'll be here for a little bit more. But I want to honor your time and your schedules. So thank you so much for your time and your attention and your questions and your participation. Jai Srila Prabhupada. And I want to say I offer my obeisances to all of you souls and human machines that have a lot on your plates.
Hare Krishna. तो हम सभी माता जी को बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद देंगे. आई स्पीक इन हिंदी. ओके. तो माता जी अपना बहुत कीमती समय निकाल कर यहाँ पर आए. हर वर्ष वो जो है अमेरिका से आती हैं और इस प्रकार अलग अलग मंदिर जाकर जो है भक्तों में जागरूकता दे रही हैं कि कैसे वो अपने जो है भक्ति में जीवन की जो है जिम्मेदारी लेकर उसको जी सकें. तो इसके लिए उन्होंने इतनी पुस्तकें भी लिखी हैं. जैसे आप आज यहाँ आई हैं, कल सुबह 5 बजे हैदराबाद जा रहे हैं, उसके बाद एक हफ्ते के लिए पूना, और हर वर्ष माता जी बहुत वर्षों से बरसाना आई कैंप में भी जो है 1 महीने के लिए जो है सेवा करती हैं. और प्रभुपाद जी के मिशन से जो है बहुत न्यू वृंदावन से जुड़ी हुई हैं। 1975 में उनकी दीक्षा हुई थी श्रील प्रभुपाद जी से, और इस्कॉन के लिए उन्होंने बहुत कई मिलियन डॉलर्स जो हैं वो रेज भी किए हैं उस प्रकार का, और अभी बहुत ही साधारण एक सरल जीवन जीते हुए जो है भक्तों में जागरूकता का प्रयास है। खुद अपनी इतनी सारी पुस्तकें लेकर सब जगह जाती हैं और बहुत मेहनत करती हैं, तो हम उनके बहुत आभारी हैं। वी आर वेरी ग्रेटफुल टू यू माता जी। सो हम उनका
डोंट टेल एनी लाइज, डोंट एग्जैजरेट द ट्रुथ,
तो हम उनका धन्यवाद करना चाहेंगे हमारे पारंपरिक तरीके से जो है तीन बार हरी बोल बोलकर। Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol.
Thank you, thank you.
Sukhava Mata Ji ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
All the assembled devotees ki jai. Hari bol, Hari bol. So I'll be sitting back there. Thank you.